What is up, my fighting game enthusiasts, fighting game fans, and fellow fighting game washed up players? You're listening to your only home for competitive fighting game news, FGC Cast, hosted by two players who could not afford to go to EVO Japan. That's what, right, we're saving. I am, as always, the Purple Sharpie, and I'm here with Saki Sakura, yet another frugal member of the fighting game community. How are you doing today, Saki?
Hello, I'm only frugal when I'm plus on block. Hello, and we're back to another episode. Sharpie, it's been a crazy week, right? With
really
all of this
has.
Content
yes, it
happening.
Has. It really, I've been completely and totally overwhelmed with all the news coming out of EVO Japan. Just do want to let our listeners know that this episode, we will not be covering EVO Japan. We will be doing another exclusive episode about that. That's how much news came out of EVO Japan. But we do have even more to talk about, starting with Multiverses. In case you all didn't know, Multiverses actually announced a few things. The first of which is they've actually been showing off even more cool updates inside of the game. The very first of which is this really cool little Aria combo that we got posted onto their Twitter. Kind of showcases a little bit more of what we can expect. This kind of really focuses on the huge visibility update that they were talking about previously when they moved over to Unreal Engine 5, which I'm personally very, very excited about. There were a couple of other updates that we also got from them. The first of which is we had a showcase of parries. You can kind of see that here. There are a couple of characters we got parry updates from. They did state that every single character inside of the game will have parries, and they also stated that similar to parry functions inside of other games, like Third Strikes, like Skullgirls, like Marvel vs. Capcom, basically any fighting game you can think of that has parries, it is going to work very similar to that. Basically, as you can see inside of these video examples, if you are able to parry in a certain type of timing, you do go ahead and recover significantly faster than you would if you had blocked it otherwise, allowing you to basically be, like Saki kind of, you know, foretold earlier, plus on block, or basically plus on that reaction, and you can go ahead and, you know, punish your opponent for that. However, if you do miss the timing on it, it will be incredibly negative, meaning that you'll be punished in an incredibly destructive way. But that wasn't the only news that we got. We also got a really cool showcase of dash attacks. Dash attacks are something that every single character inside of the game is going to have, as showcased inside of this video example right here with Iron Giant. Basically, it's a cool way of ending your combo, breaking your combo, or even starting your combo. They haven't given us too much more information, unfortunately, about these type of attacks, and I'm kind of curious to see how it's going to work with the entire combo structure of Multiverses, but we did also get an update and an idea of how the graphics are going to change. This is kind of a video example of what Harley's box did previous to the update. Now that they're in Unreal Engine 5, you can kind of see inside of this specific aspect that it actually has even more frames. The animation's been cleaned up a little bit more. The color is a lot more visible, a lot more obvious, and most importantly, the box actually floats up, causing it to be almost an active hitbox, if that makes sense. So I gotta ask, Saki, with all of these crazy updates that we're getting inside of Multiverses, or is there any part of the update thus far that you're incredibly excited about? I know that you're a Fin main, so I have a feeling that that Aria combo we showed off earlier is kind of like, you know, tickling you, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I know when I played Aria just for like the tiny bit, back when Multiverses was still in the early access launch, her attacks are very difficult and specials are very difficult to execute. She's not a character that you're just meant to be like picking up and getting comfortable with her immediately. And I remember with Finn, like what was really cool is obviously the backpack combos, the sword combos, the like you put his sword in the ground and then you yeet the player, right? And the thing is that like that's really cool to see that there's going to be more in depth than just like, yeah, I need to learn these two combos to build up damage and then the one combo to literally continue and yeet the other player off of the stage. Now, I think one, I definitely want to highlight that UI, or not UI, but the engine, the change in engine, it really makes this game pop out. I love that we got to see what it looked like before and how we're getting to see that now, especially with the way just all of the characters look.
Yeah.
And then more than anything, we kind of talked about this in the previous episode. So if you haven't done so yet, make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube as well as to Spotify, Apple, and where we're at as well, because we talked about the attack speed a little bit before.
We did.
And it looked like they actually We're fixing that. It looked like, yeah, this was just focused on netcode. Now we get you get to see how active a lot of these characters are. So I thought that was really cool.
I'm really happy that you brought that up, Saki, because one thing that I did say inside the last one is like these developers are actively working on different concepts and we can't pay attention to those, that attack speed, even inside of these combos, even though I'm seeing like significantly faster gameplay, I'm seeing more readability and such like that with the VFX and like the UI, I'm still very cognizant of the fact that this game is actively in development and none of the changes that we see here may end up inside of the finished version of the game. They're just proof of concepts, you know? And so I think you were right to be like, yeah, you know, let's take all of this with a grain of salt. Let's be very, very careful and cautious about the way that we dissect it and be very respectful to the fact that the game is actively inside of development, even for the next couple of weeks. I do also want to state that the developers also had a Q&A inside of the official Multiverse's Discord, which I very briefly want to talk about before we go to our very next topic. You'll notice that inside of this section, I actually have no video playing outside of our very, very cute little avatars that we personally have here, Saki. And there's a very specific reason why. The reason why is because the actual Q&A, even though it was being held inside of the Discord, was not held through voice. It was not held through video. It was actually held through text. They had two different channels. They had a channel to submit questions, and they had a channel where they responded to certain questions through answers. It was conducted by the community manager, Ajax, and the gameplay developer Ajax and the community manager, Nakat, were the people who actually showcased this. And I'll be very, very, very blunt here. I was completely and totally expecting a video QA. You know, I think a lot of the community was. Yeah.
It's interesting that you say that, because I feel like, not that text is a bad thing. I mean, obviously there's communication, mm-hmm. right? Like we're obviously seeing that they're not going quiet on us, and but it does spell like, hey, this is a little last minute, or maybe like just a different approach, and I don't feel like that approach would have really worked. I also know that there was a little bit of problems trying to get into the Discord.
Yeah.
As well. So I find that super interesting that's what they went with this time around. What are your thoughts on that? Especially because you work with developers, yeah. Right?
So in total transparency, right? Like I spoke to some people privately about it, and I will not share their views on this podcast out of respect for what we discussed privately. My thoughts on it, like publicly, are that I always think it's better for transparency's sake if you are upfront and like very visual, especially with Q&As, right? Especially when there's already a bunch of people like actively worried about the state of the game. I always think it's better to be in front of people and have a face there. It's what they did when they announced that the game was coming back, right? They had Tony and they're like, hey, we're doing this X, Y, and Z. We're doing all of this here. I was also somewhat surprised because inside of the past, I've been a part of like other activations that I've done with them where we did like Multiverse's Ambassador stuff and we were vocally inside of the Discord. You know, they had an outline where we answered questions and people could hear our voices. And so when you're just reading text, you're not getting an idea of like how that person's conveying the information or what they really are meaning or what some of the nuances inside of the words mean. It's just black and white. And everybody reads sentences differently. It's the reason why books are so open to interpretation, right? But I don't know why it was done. And I don't publicly have any reasons that I can give as to why it was done as of right now, unfortunately. I'm still really excited about the game. It's just something that I did want to bring up of note that was something else that happened inside of the Multiverse's community over the past week or so. But I'm still very, 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 very excited for Multiverse's, truthfully. I still have a really cute, like, little Steven Universe and Garnet. Oh, I guess the last thing I should probably say is that they have been showcasing some of the,
skins?
They've been showcasing some of the colors specifically for like Multiverses, which I've been very, 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 very happy about. And I don't know like the new skins that they have for the new characters, the one that I was really excited about especially was they had a Garnet skin, which was shortly after she gets married and fuses together again. It has one side as a suit and one side as the dress, and it's so cute. They have a couple of like Superman skins where he's like in a beach outfit and stuff. It's really cute. I'm really happy with it. And that's just kind of like some of the fluff that I'm happy to see from multiverses. And so some of the flesh that I'm happy to see from like PFG and Warner Brothers. I'm just hoping for even more transparency inside of the future, especially from PFG's side. I do have to say this was kind of a little bit of a swing and a miss for me personally with the QA. But that's kind of just how I feel. And to close up the segment on a positive note, we are expecting even more multiverses news coming out, especially now that we're at the start of March. We're recording this as of May 3rd. We're actually at the start of May. So we're expecting even more news since multiverses comes out in approximately 25 days. But yeah, I'm very excited about multiverses. So much more to talk about, so much more to come out. And, you know, just overall, I'm still really excited about the game. But let me ask you this question, Saki. We have been actively ignoring 2XKO for the last few episodes. Has any brand new news come out regarding 2XKO in the last like few that you can talk about right now, I would say?
Absolutely. So right before heading to Evo Japan, many players, including myself, got to check out 2XKO's Alawi gameplay. Now, shout outs to Riot Shivana, amazing person to speak to. She actually designed Alawi, right? So, you know, here's Alawi here. What was really cool about the gameplay, other than, of course, that we got to see her release, is that there is lot to talk about in how she plays. First and foremost, she is not a puppet character. Yeah. Everyone rise up and applaud that we don't have to deal with the puppet character for right now. I know, you know, some of her tentacles that you just saw there that she set up, they may look like puppets, but they're really not. Instead, she actually has more control over them as part of like her moves to actually spend on. And then right there, we got to see her level 3 super, which is basically the eye of her sea god, the Kraken herself. And then, you know, once again, just being able to really see how she can do a lot of damage, Sharpie.
Yeah, she can. No, I'm thoroughly surprised by how she was designed, because like I've said, like multiple times before, this character looks beautiful, but the way that it looks like she plays as well is exactly why you see me right here with my Alawi outfit on. Like, this is the goddess of the seas. This is the wielder of and the vessel of Nagakeboro. This is the woman who has gotten Braum's eye and Braum's respect. You know, this is a powerful person, and I am absolutely in love with everything she talked about. I do want to note, like, this is actually a really important aspect of all of it. Truthfully, they kind of briefly go over it inside of the showcase, which I do recommend like people watching and checking out. But one of the things they talk about is that even though she's not a puppet character, you kind of see like these little like splash zones around her tentacles, like those little like green areas. That's the area that she can basically, if she uses an attack move inside of that area, it allows her to like basically command that tentacle. So there are opportunities and combos where you can see she activates it. That one had no splash zone, right? So Carolyn, otherwise known as Riot Shivana, works really, really hard at making sure that like there's basically a fair amount of like activity that you can use. And you can see after you use that splash zone, right? The tentacle disappears. So it allows you to create heavy amounts of pressure, especially inside of the corner. At least that's what it seems like right now, is that it allows you to create heavy amounts of pressure inside of the corner. This character plays exactly the same way I thought she was going to play. Like, this is exactly the type of gameplay I thought I was getting when I saw Maui.
Sharpie, yeah. just knocking out your tentacles, making sure you don't get any pressure on me. You know, I think that's like, you brought up a perfect point, right? It's that there's this opportunity that like, yes, she's strong, she does damage, she does pressure, but there's also opportunities for you to actually fight back and actually take back the board. We kind of saw a couple of players as well. And when we talk about EVO Japan next week, we'll be able to actually dive in a little bit more. Another small changes that I noticed with Alawi's gameplay and her trailer is we actually got to see some adjustments on other characters. Yeah. Ari being a character that when she was first originally announced, she was able to summon her three orbs at once. Now she actually has to take the time to summon one at a time.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. Obviously, I haven't been able to really play because I wasn't at EVO Japan, nor was I at EVO last year. So a lot of the stuff that I've been watching has been on what has been recorded and what has been allowed to be recorded. But I think that right now we're really seeing some good stuff at the moment. And I can't wait to see how this game continues to flesh out. Yeah. One big last thing that I think I want to mention, and again, you being a League of Legends player, I love that there is that dedication to keep the character like familiar. Like if you play League of Legends, you're going to know what these players or what these characters are going to do in a way. And I love that there's still like that translation is still there.
Yeah, no, they actually talk briefly about it inside of the video that's up on YouTube right now or on, you know, the 2XKO Twitter. But basically, I believe what they said was they wanted her to stay true to what she is, which is why they made... Actually, Justin Wong interviewed one of the developers and talked about, like, this specific super, which I believe is, like, the level 2 super that Alawi has, and how it basically, like, summons. It's really, really cinematic and intricate, and you're engulfed by the tentacles, brought down into the depths of the briny deep, and you meet Nagake Boro, this giant squid god. Canonically, it is a squid, by the way. Canonically, Nagake Boro is a squid. I can get into a bunch of lore right now. I'm choosing not to because we have so much more news to go through. But basically, the developers are all very, very aware that there are people like me who are hard stuck inside of gold and plat that are going to be playing this game coming from League of Legends. And they are very, very aware that we have expectations as to certain things that we believe canonically that these characters will do and do. do. I'm sorry. Will do inside of this game. And they're trying their best to address it. I know we've talked before about Echo Super, but mm-hmm. Alawi Super, I think, is really, really adherent to the fact that Alawi is exclusively a priestess. She's someone that's used to summon, like, she's a vessel of a greater being, and you get a glimpse of that greater being for the very first time here inside of that super, you know? They talk about it inside of Runeterra as well, or Legend of Runeterra, otherwise known as the card game, but seeing it even more fleshed out specifically inside of the fighting game is just literally so satisfying, so completely and totally satisfying. Saki, I'll go ahead and give you last thoughts on this.
I think that we are going to be seeing probably one of the best fighting games since Guilty Gear Strive, honestly.
That's and crazy. I can't wait. No, you're right, though. You're right. Like, I agree with you. I think Riot's definitely made, like, they've made themselves known as inside of the contender of great fighting games of all time. But there is another fighting game on the docket that we have to talk about here that we have briefly covered inside of a previous episode, and that's the new Hunter x Hunter fighting game. If you all are not aware, but in the very last few episodes, I actually think it was like 3 episodes ago or so, we announced that, you know, Hunter x Hunter had been announced as basically coming out with a fighting game. They gave us a literal 30-second trailer. We actually received a much longer gameplay showcase literally at EVO Japan, and what you're watching right now is the gameplay video that's currently available on YouTube as of right now. There have been quite a few mechanics they showed off. They showed off the supers, they showed off some of the tag mechanics, they even showed off what the character select's gonna be like. But I gotta ask you here, Saki, what has been your favorite part of the showcase thus far?
So I think probably my favorite thing about the showcase is the speed. So a lot of people were saying like, oh, this looks too slow, which, by the way, before I continue on any thoughts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to buy the game.
Ooh.
You're like, Saki, I don't play this type of game. Listen, I don't play this type of game either. But you have to understand, I am tired, tired of arena fighters.
Okay.
I bought Demon Slayer, mm-hmm. and it was an arena fighter.
Yep.
I bought Naruto, it was an arena fighter.
Yep.
I could have bought Dragon Ball Z. However, I am not a Dragon Ball Z kind of girl. Hunter x Hunter is the start of what could possibly be a reimagination of all of the anime that we love into a 2D fighter. And it starts with this one.
Talk
it
to him,
starts
Saki.
With speaking with our money.
Talk to him, Saki. You know what's crazy is Meg Thee Stallion has said Hunter x Hunter is like in her top 5 anime. I actually think she put it at number 1. So I just want to let you know that if you are a fan of Meg Thee Stallion and you consider yourself a hot girl and you don't buy Hunter x Hunter on release, you can no longer call yourself a hot girl. And if I hear you call
Talk
yourself a hot girl, I'm going
to
check your PSN library.
Yep.
I'm going to check your Steam library. Mm-hmm. I may even check your Xbox library just for good measure. But I'm going to just say this right here, right now. I played SNK Heroines. Do you want to know why I played SNK Heroines, Saki?
What?
Because it's not a good game, but I believed in what they were trying to do.
Yep.
I believed in what they were trying to do. I did.
I believed it too.
Yeah.
I did.
I gave them a chance. I regret giving them that chance, but I did it.
Sometimes it just takes that chance. Now, I do want to say this, though.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of concerns, despite like some of the really cool like things that came out of Evil Japan. I even think, now, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was like a very similar to, and I'm glad actually this picture came up or this part of the video came up. So to refocus the thoughts, it is definitely a short roster. Now, here's the thing. Hunter x Hunter in the anime straight away, there's not many characters that you're gonna see, right? Because obviously if that's the thing about anime games, right? Not everyone is like Dragon Ball that you have like the re-releases of all of these characters or different forms and things like that. You know, that's gonna be a thing. Now, what's really cool from what I've heard is that the developers really didn't have a huge budget. I think it was around 1 million maybe that they had. And honestly,
still more than Skullgirls. I'm gonna be honest. That's still pretty petty. But
that's still pretty fair. I agree. And like I said, there is a lot to be expected. However, given that this is of course a licensed franchise,
yeah,
that's really not a lot of money to be working with.
That's a good point.
You know, and then what's really big here, though, is that we are seeing really solid gameplay. A lot of people are bringing out, I think it's Marvel versus Capcom Infinite is what they were trying to compare it to. And I think that regardless, at the end of the day, this is what we've been waiting for. And I really want to just highlight that, like, continue to watch. This is a game that, again, it's not going to be like your 2XKO or your multiverses, but this is the start of, hey, we can finally move away from the arena fighters and start actually calling for developers to make games based on the brands we love. If you kind of notice, there's not really a lot of anime games, even on the RPG side, that are not, not as popular. Like, you're not seeing the Sailor Moon RPGs that used to be out. You're not seeing the Inuyasha RPGs be out again. You know, a lot of that stayed with the PS2, maybe at most PS3,
yeah.
And they all focused on Dragon Ball, Demon Slayer. There was a couple of Attack on Titans, and even then people got bored of the formula.
Yeah.
This is the start to change the formula, Sharpie.
No, you're right. You're very correct, and I agree with that statement. I guess my biggest frustration when it comes to like looking at the way that, like, I don't want to say tag fighters exclusively, because it's not only a tag fighter problem. I think my biggest issue is that there's no guarantee, right, that even if we support the game, that I guess what I'm trying to say here is my biggest frustration always comes from the fact that ultimately it's completely and totally, the fighting game genre is so tiny, you know? I think that's
agreed.
Ultimately what I'm trying to say. And so that's why when we say things about, like, make sure you're getting this game if you are interested even a little bit inside of the IP, it's because we know how small this genre is, and we know how important it is to speak with our money. You know, my frustration ultimately comes from the fact that, like, we have to do it even if it's not perfect, because that's how small our genre is, you know? Like, I guess, mm-hmm. I guess that's where a lot more of my frustration comes from specifically. There is, actually, I'm really happy that you brought up MVC Aisaki, because there was one last thing I wanted to talk to and that we have here on the docket today, and that's actually community, right? You are from the Southeast region, right? An area that's kind of dominated by Tampa Never Sleeps, run by Tong. We talked about him a couple of episodes ago and his community efforts. And but specifically, he comes from a community that we also talked about last episode, which is the Marvel community. Now, the Marvel community, like I said previously, is very well known for their passion. In that vein, community passion has made it so that MVCI is getting a second chance at life. Maximilian has personally funded someone to go ahead and actually update the entirety of Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite to create cell shading. Now, Saki, I know you're looking at this and you're freaking drooling. Am I right? Like, you're drooling, because I mean, I'm drooling.
So, okay, don't yell at me, Sharpie. Don't yell at me.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Saki's not drooling, bro.
I'm drooling for the looks. However, I'm not really a Capcom fan.
Let's go ahead and end the stream. Let's go ahead and talk offline about that.
No, okay,
I'm very particular. I'm gonna give you the floor. I'm gonna give you the floor for 2 minutes.
Okay, talk to me. Okay. I got this. I'm very particular about my Capcom games, okay? Like, I personally like, you know, my Resident Evil, maybe a tiny, tiny bit of Monster Hunter, and then the rest tend to be like the more, you know, I want to say, like, hidden gems that are, like, RPGs from Capcom. But, like, as far as, like, Street Fighter and Marvel, like, I'm sorry. It's not for me. Okay. This is kind of why I don't actually pick up Marvel versus Capcom, because it's just not for me.
No, I get it. I understand. It's not for everybody. You know, some people have interesting taste in video games.
It looks really cool, though. Like, I'm happy to see that the community is getting something of this nature.
Yeah.
Especially because I really do feel that at some point, developers should be working with modders. Especially when it comes to their older games. Because modders have accomplished something that, honestly, some of the devs can't have accomplished themselves, which is reworking the old coding that is in these older games and then providing them a new touch of life. Like, we talk about it all the time, you know, when we look back at, like, how some games didn't have rollback, but thanks to modders, that worked. You know, is it expensive? Sure, but a lot of these modders are already working on a free, you know, very limited, if at most, if they are earning from a Patreon, you know? And that's it. That's literally it. And I feel like a lot of the times, you know, you have your company that, yes, you have your team, but then there's just some people who, like, they don't have that gift to be working around with older games like of this nature. And modders can be a really good force in community.
Yep, I agree. I absolutely agree. I just, final thoughts, want to go ahead and show off this this kind of, like, proof of concept that the modder Ren, otherwise known on Twitter as @wistfulhopes, all one word, went ahead and showcased. They actually did a really cool dissection into what it takes to kind of, like, mod a game like this. They talked about how they cell shaded all the texture, they ripped the textures from the games, they painted over the base colors of the game, they you know, added the flat colors, went ahead and painted over it again, added that, ripped the models, put them inside Blender, updated the shading to match the models. And then after that, like, the outline mesh does most of the work. So you can see, like, really, really cool cell shading basic effect inside of here. And I just thought that was really cool. You know, Saki, I know I give you a lot of, like, hard times, especially about, like, you know, playing top tier characters or, you know, picking a character that I don't particularly like or not playing a game that I absolutely love. But I really do respect you for, like, not possibly, like, liking this game. I come from Team Fighters, so having an opportunity to play a game like Marvel vs. Capcom that aesthetically looks more similar to other team fighters that I've played is really exciting to me, but I understand it's obviously not everybody's cup of tea. For those of you who happen to have great taste, similar to myself, I would consider following Maximilian on Twitter, following Wistful Hopes on Twitter, and following along with that project as it stands. But with that being said, we have officially come to the end of this podcast. Saki, I just want to say thank you so much again for taking time today, for being here, and do you have any final thoughts this episode?
I do, and I think that there's a little bit of words of wisdom from FGC Mom, okay? Listen, if you are a content creator, specifically FGC, because of course we're the FGC cast, right?
Yeah.
Remember that you are doing great things even with your one viewer, your five viewers, 10 viewers. You know, just the other day, Sharpie, your FGC Mom post got me like, you know what? I am doing good, because I may have 10 viewers here on Twitch, but I got 20 viewers on TikTok, I got 15 viewers on YouTube, and I got you all lovely folks here on the FGC cast. I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
I think you are too, Saki. I think you are too. And you know, I just want to actually shout out all of those awesome viewers, especially on YouTube, because we are actually literally, as we are now currently recording, at 191 subscribers on YouTube. Literally at the start of April, exactly 33 days ago, we had sub 100 viewers. We have almost doubled that now. So I just want to say thank you to everyone for following and supporting. I especially want to shout out Sonic Fox and Justin Wong, who retweeted the Late Night Sets with Sharpie segment that I started working on, which you should also be checking out. It's exclusively on our YouTube. I go ahead and I interview a contestant from Justin Wong's reality show called Next Up. It's really, really good. We do have a couple of other interviews lined up. But Saki, I understand that there are other ways for people to support the cast besides just checking out our YouTube. And what are those ways?
Well, some of those ways is that you can, of course, go ahead and rate the podcast on Spotify and Apple Music. We love to see your thoughts. Let us know. We see everything. And of course, you know, follow all of our channels. Follow all of us, where we're going and what we're doing, because we wouldn't be here without you.
Yep. And you guys know, as always, we will see you offline.